Welcome back to Connections. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Michael Raworth from Tall Ships America. He's their president and board chair. And Michael, welcome. Great to be talking with you.
Good to be talking to you, Bill.
Well, huge event coming up for the Boston area this coming weekend with the Sail Boston, with the Tall Ships, Parade of Sail, and so on. And I guess, tell me about your organization, Tall Ships America, and how it interacts with Sail Boston and so on.
Sure. We serve as the advocacy organization for the fleet of sailing ships in North America. We've got a number of member organizations all around the coasts of the Great Lakes, the Atlantic Coast, the Gulf Coast, the Pacific Coast. And we also are the organizers of what every year is called the Tall Ships Challenge. And this year, Sail Boston is a part of that. We had an earlier event a few weeks ago in Charleston. And basically, we organize the offshore components of these events, the races between the ports, and then we have agreements with local organizers in each port to do their local festivals because of their local expertise. And in those events, we largely attend to the interests of the ships to make sure that they're being taken care of and their trainees are being taken care of, because most of these ships are operated for the purposes of sail training, kind of a character development enterprise. And that's really the driver of this whole phenomenon.
Now, the ships are coming, are they all coming across the Atlantic on this race, or some mixing in from other places?
Oh, no, they're coming from various locations. There are quite a number that have crossed the Atlantic. This fleet began in the UK in April and has made several stops in Europe and then stopped most recently in Bermuda. And it was joined there by a fleet of vessels that were involved in our organization's event in Charleston, South Carolina. And then there's, in addition, at least two ships from South America that I'm able to recall, a brand new ship from Peru, and then a ship of, if you will, long-standing, a regular player in these events from Chile.
I want to talk about the Parade of Sail in just a moment with you in more detail, but from a North Shore perspective, and so I'm talking about from Newburyport really all the way down to, say, Winthrop, right to Boston, what are the viewing options, or what could people be looking for around the North Shore here this weekend?
Well, actually, the most North Shore-centric event will be on Thursday, which is the start of the race following Sail Boston that will go into Canada and carry the fleet to its, if you will, its high point destination, because this whole 2017 event is done as a celebration commemorating the 150th anniversary of the founding of modern Canada, which is done off Prince Edward Island on the 1st of July of 1867. So there's going to be big events in Canada, and those will obviously follow on Sail Boston. But the race itself is going to start off of Cape Ann. It'll be late in the day on Thursday. And it's been relocated up there basically to diminish the congestion, because when you get big square-rigged ships jockeying around a race starting line, you don't want to be tripping over your shoelaces.
And that you're talking about that being this Thursday, right?
A week from tomorrow, yes.
Oh, a week from, on the 22nd. I got you. And that's
following Sail Boston. I mean, the Sail Boston events run through a full day of Wednesday, and then the ships begin to depart Thursday, a week from tomorrow, on the 22nd.
Right.
Now, there will be some activity to be observed on the North Shore, but it will be largely the southern portion of the North Shore, because the vessels will be coming to anchor. And then they're going to need to be anchored the bulk of Friday, day after tomorrow. Around Nahant, and some in a little bit in the direction of Swampscott, and that is basically to get them into position to form up for the Parade of Sail, and to be cleared in by the Customs and Immigration authorities. So the vessels may be actually sailing around, just doing exercises with their crews beforehand, perhaps as early as Thursday, the 15th, but possibly on Friday the 16th as well. But they need to be tucked into their anchorages certainly by midday on Friday to get the customs formalities out of the way. So there will be they'll be visible from the coastal routes along the coast of Revere and from in part from the Linway in Lynn.
Yeah.
And then on up North Shore Drive into Swampscott.
Sounds good. Now, the parade at sail itself is a very rare thing for this area, correct?
Yes. In fact, it's so rare that the all other traffic in the harbor is shut down. There will be no ship traffic during the time of the parade of sail. And obviously that has implications for maritime commerce, so it is not done very often.
And that's Saturday from 9 to 3, I see. And we'll have links on our website at in the next day or so to for folks to take a look at that stuff. Yeah.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Well, anything, you know, you know these ships. I mean, I'm sure you know a lot of them. What's the most unique or one or two of the most unique things that will be, you know, in Boston this week?
Well, the ship that sort of caught my eye is the newest one that I mentioned earlier from Peru. Its name is Union, and I met their former skipper at a meeting in D.C. early in May, and he was very proud of the ship because it was fabricated entirely in South America and constructed in Peru. And, you know, you don't think of these ships as being modern creations, but this one definitely is. And some of the others have been built, you know, in the last 20 years or so. But they continue to be built because of the continuing value that the governments see in getting their young and up-and-coming mariners this experience on big sailing ships because of the seamanship that it imbues in them and the qualities of leadership that they get from that experience.
You know, that's very interesting because if, you know, I've been down to Norfolk, Virginia, you see these huge Navy ships, I think it was Norfolk, and they must be all computerized, you know, navigation and all of that. And so it is completely different than what you'd be doing on one of these ships.
Well, that's true, but even Navy ships demand high levels of seamanship these days. And in many other nations, the naval officers go through training on big sailing ships as a precursor to their experience in their totally diesel-powered fleets. And, of course, all graduates of our Coast Guard Academy go through the experience of training on America's tall ship, the Eagle, because of the value, once again, that the Coast Guard sees in giving their officers that experience, even though they're not going to be working under sail, most of them, in their future.
Wow. Now, Michael, just maybe a final question or two here, but tell me about your journey, which led you and experiences that led you to become president board chair of Tall Ships America. What's your sailing background, so to speak?
Well, when I got out of college, I went into the Coast Guard and was on a Coast Guard icebreaker and went to the Arctic and the Antarctic. And when I left active duty, I thought that I wanted to get some more of this seamanship into my blood, so I went and got a commercial credential, a Merchant Marine Officer's License, and sailed on that in various capacities. And then in 1980, there was an oil crisis and a resurgence in the interest in sail as a power method for commercial vessels. In fact, they were doing what we would today call hybrid organizations, where you'd have a diesel-powered ship that would save fuel by using sails under certain circumstances. And I thought I wanted to be involved in that, so I managed to get some active duty on the Eagle, related to my earlier Coast Guard experience, and built that into time as an officer on various other large sailing ships, and that led me to have a credential for sailing ships that I maintain now. That is a master's license, and so I found myself drawn into the world of Tall Ships America, and eventually was asked to be its president.
Great. Michael, anything else you want to share with us that I did not ask you about that you think might be of interest or note that folks should know about this coming, these days ahead here in the Boston area?
Well, the event is going to be a very big one. I just want to emphasize for the if you will, the safety and the convenience of everybody. This is going to be a lot of congestion on the streets of Boston, and the police have already announced closures and so forth. So it's very much in order that people take public transportation, because the street traffic is going to be very, very, very challenging. And there's plenty of observation areas, but there are lists of prohibited objects for those observation areas that are posted on the Sail Boston website, and I would encourage everybody to consult that website. There's also pictures of the ships and little histories of them that are very good on the Sail Boston website. But if you're going to come down to the event as opposed to watching it on TV, then you want to be very careful to make sure what you're carrying conforms to those lists, because of the very obvious safety and security considerations that the public safety officials will have to be enforcing.
Yep, and we'll have links on our website to those links. You are right. It is a great resource, and folks should head to that if they are at all interested in any of this. Well, Michael, thanks so much for joining us, and best of luck. Have a great week.
Thank you very kindly. Yeah. Good luck to you.
Yep, Michael Raworth, the President, Board Chair of Tall Ships America, here with us on MSO News Sports.